Good evening. Good to see you here tonight for our evening service. Appreciate your presence here tonight. Before we get started into the sermon, I want to say just a word or two by way of previewing some things that are upcoming for us as a church. We will have two more small group meetings on our regularly scheduled times of the second and the fourth Sundays of the month, beginning next Sunday for April, but that will conclude our small groups for this season. We ordinarily go through May, but this year in May, we've got lots of exciting activities taking place. May is going to be a full month, and let me really encourage you to be looking at your bulletin and reading your bulletin for all the details of what's going to be unfolding in the month of May, particularly as it relates to our Sunday gatherings. Then in the months of June and July, the elders have decided to do once again what we did last summer in our summer nights program, where we meet downstairs in the fellowship hall around the tables for some for a brief devotional and then some discussion regarding our spiritual lives. And so I know that you'll want to be a part of that. That seemed to be extremely popular with the members here, and so the elders have decided to do that again starting in June, the first Sunday night of June. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that. That's upcoming. So just continue to be watching your bulletin and listen to the announcements for all of the information that will be unfolding regarding the weeks and months ahead. Tonight we continue our series of sermons that we've been doing together on the Sunday night assemblies here back at the building, and that is on the topic of lessons from the pit. Now, from that title, what we've been trying to explore is in life, sometimes we face difficulties and stress and strain. And what is it that God's trying to teach us through those times? This is part number three in that series, and we're going to go in a little bit different direction tonight than what you might anticipate. We've already looked at two individuals, Joseph, and then also the fellow that found himself in the pit with the lion in the snowy day. You remember that? We looked at that last time. So we've looked at those two individuals that found themselves in the pit. We'll look at another tonight that found himself in the pit, and that's the prophet Jeremiah from the passage that was read for us a moment ago. Now, ordinarily, when we think about someone being down in the pit or going through a time of struggle and suffering, we're thinking about something that we have to endure. And in those first two lessons, that's the way we've approached this topic. We've tried to see some inspirational examples and instructions about how to deal with seasons of life when you find yourself in the pit. But what if God is calling you to live a life in the pit? What if some pits are not temporary seasons of discouragement or suffering, but instead are places where God is wanting you to minister? That's the situation that this individual tonight found himself in. He found himself thrown into a pit. The text tells us in Jeremiah 38, he was thrown into a cistern, into a pit, by his own people that he was trying to minister to. They turned on him, and they threw him in a pit, and the last verse there says, and Jeremiah found himself sinking in the mud. There is a sense in which being involved in real ministry in God's purposes means that we are called to be, all of us, the people of the pit. And that's the title for tonight's lesson, part number three, Lessons from the Pit. God is calling you and me, in some sense of the term, to be the people of the pit. In this third example with the prophet Jeremiah, we see that he's thrown into this muddy pit by his own people who rejected the message that God had sent him to give to them. But this pit symbolizes not only this one event in Jeremiah's life, but if you read the entire story of Jeremiah, you discover that his entire ministry was that God was calling him down into the messiness, we might say the muddiness, of real world ministry. He was advocating and heralding God's message to an obstinate people who did not want to hear it. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 38, we're focusing in, and David, I am so sorry. Where are you, David? So sorry that you had scripture reading tonight. You did a great job, though, with all those names there in the first couple of verses. Much better than, I won't even attempt that. But we'll focus in on verse number 6. So they took Jeremiah, and they cast him into the cistern, which was in the court of the guard, letting Jeremiah down by ropes, and there was no water in the cistern, but only mud. And Jeremiah sank in the mud. Jeremiah didn't even find even some refreshment down in that pit. He landed in a place of messiness. So first, let's discuss tonight and think about the calling of the pit. As we, real quickly, if you'll indulge me, I need to give you a fly-by overview of the life of Jeremiah and his ministry. He lived at a time when the political map of the world was being completely redrawn. The world power of Assyria was weakening to the east, while Babylon was on the rise, and Egypt at the south was trying to assert its authority. And so this tiny kingdom of Judah was caught right in the middle between two contending world powers, Babylon to the north and Egypt to the south. Well, eventually Babylon wins that power struggle, and God uses her victory, this foreign enemy, as the means, the instrument of judgment upon his disobedient people, the Jews. In around 598 to 597 BC, Babylon defeated Judah, and King Nebuchadnezzar put Zedekiah on the throne in Jerusalem. God had selected Jeremiah the prophet to come during this time, to and even prior to the overthrow of the Jews by King Nebuchadnezzar, as a prophet to the nations. God had chosen Jeremiah even while he was still in his mother's womb for this purpose. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. Now he was reluctant at first. You would be too, when the odds are so stacked against you. But Jeremiah was faithful in proclaiming what was an extremely unpopular message to his own people. And that message was this: repent and turn to God, or else you will be punished. Well, God's people, you see, had welcomed, essentially, they had invited God's judgment upon them because they had broken the covenant that God made with them all the way back at Mount Sinai, and now God is about to bring judgment upon them. And so Jeremiah first begins his ministry trying to call these people to genuine repentance, to escape the coming judgment. But when King Jehoiakim burns the scroll of Jeremiah's writings in chapter 36, the fate of the nation is sealed. The Babylonians will in fact come in, and they will defeat God's people. The enemy is coming. So Jeremiah then, knowing that the handwriting is on the wall, directs his people to do the unthinkable: surrender. The best thing you can do is to surrender to the enemy, because there will be no escape from them. That's the context of chapter 37 and the first few verses of chapter 38 that lands Jeremiah in the pit, because he is branded as being a traitor of his own people for advocating surrender to the enemy. How dare you suggest such a thing, Jeremiah? They throw him down in the pit, a cistern full of mud, and he sinks down in that mud. That's Jeremiah's ministry. And what do we learn from that? We learn that ministry many times means, And when I say ministry, please don't hear me say just preachers and prophets. We're all to be ministers of the message of God. So this is a message not just for those that are in official leadership positions in the church. This is a message for all of us. Ministry means being down in the mud. You see, it shouldn't have surprised Jeremiah to find himself down in the mud of this pit, because God told him, Jeremiah, you've been born for this very purpose. Even before his birth, he'd called Jeremiah into this ministry. Real world ministry means messy business, because we're all a mess. But we don't really like that, particularly in the safety and security and the neat and tidy of religion in America today. We like things comfortable. We like things neat and tidy. But real ministry means getting down into the mud of people's lives, getting down in the pit. It means we agitate the comfortable and encourage the faint-hearted. This is the calling of the ministers of mess. And it's what we are called to. It's the message the prophet Jeremiah was called to. You see, whenever we as individual Christians or churches, Christians collectively, finally decide to stop doing the neat and tidy and start getting really involved in the lives of the mess of people's lives, and to listen to the call of God that we were born for this purpose, to be in the world working with people as ambassadors of Christ, it means that we are going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be messy. It's going to get weird. And we really don't like that. But we must embrace the mud of the pit of ministry. It's what we're called to do. Let me illustrate it. Several years ago, the ministers here were talking with the elders, and we were spending some time planning and researching and praying over whether to start a small group ministry in this church. I did a lot of calling around, talked to people that had done small group ministries in other churches, some that had done them very well, some that had done them very poorly, some that had been wildly successful, others that had been a real bone of contention in some churches. I did lots of reading and research and books that were been written about small group ministries, and tried to learn as much as I could to bring to the elders and bring to our discussion so we would be informed in making a great decision. And one thing that I found was interesting. I talked with one church leader, who said this: we didn't have all these problems until we started doing small groups. And I thought, do you realize what you're saying? Because in reality, the problems are there. The mud is there. It's only the question of, are we acting like it's not there and ignoring it, not getting down in the messiness of ministry, or are we getting down into it, engaging in people's lives? Because when we engage in one another's lives, we start to see the mud. But the remedy can only be applied when we recognize the problem. You see, it's easy to be with people and to be people who stand for truth. That's easy. It's even easier, I would argue, to be people who extend grace. But where it gets messy is being what we're called to be, and that is to stand for truth and extend grace at the same time. To be people of truth and grace is difficult because it means it's virtually impossible to be consistent all the time. Because in one case, a person needs a healthy dose of truth, and in another case, they need a heavy helping of grace. And so to be able to try to keep those in balance and meet the need of the moment, the need of ministry, the need of people, where they find themselves in life, presents interesting and adventurous challenges as we recognize the distinct and different needs that people have as we deal with individuals. But this is ministry, and it's down in the mud of the pit. So let's talk about that mud for just a second. I've got three, I think, No, four. Four quick ideas about the mud of the pit that I think we learn from Jeremiah's experience here. In the first place, we can't be afraid to get dirty. When the Babylonian armies take Jerusalem, Jeremiah is first, here's what's so interesting, you look at chapter 40, when the Babylonian armies come in, after Jeremiah comes out of this pit, they offer Jeremiah a comfortable place in the Babylonian court. So picture it for just a moment. Jeremiah has been sent to the Jews, his own people. He tries to say, hey, this is what's best for you. You need to repent or judgment is coming. They don't listen. Finally, the handwriting's on the wall. He says, look, judgment's coming. God has said it. Best thing you can do is surrender. Then he looks like a traitor. His own people turn on him, begin to attack him, throw him in the pit. After he gets out of the pit, then basically the Babylonians say, Jeremiah, you tried to convince them to surrender to us. That was great. So we're going to offer you a cushy job in the Babylonian court. Jeremiah could have easily said, my own people rejected me. They don't want to have anything to do with me. I'm going to go live it up in the cushy life of the Babylonian court. But Jeremiah chooses instead to stay behind in the land of Judah with his own people who rejected him. Now, what is the point of that? I think it is easy. It's all too easy to choose comfort over the messiness of ministry. We had rather live in the palace than to be the people of the pit. But Jeremiah chose the pit because he knew he was called for this purpose from the beginning, and he would not retire from that purpose now. Being in the mud of the pit of ministry means that we must not be afraid to get dirty, because people's lives are messy. Churches get dirty when we're like Jeremiah and we show the dedication and endurance of a long-term commitment to God's people. I like what one reference said that I read this week, said that Jeremiah's audiences were usually antagonistic or apathetic to his message. He was ignored all of his life and often threatened. He saw both the excitement of a spiritual awakening and the sorrow of a national return to idolatry. He watched king after king ignore his warnings. He saw a few fellow prophets murdered, and he himself was severely persecuted. We call Jeremiah the weeping prophet because he knew the emotional toll that it takes upon the heart of a person who is called by God to send the message of what needs to be heard among God's people, even when it's not the popular thing to say. He knew the messiness of ministering to God's people, and he endured it. So we must not be afraid to get dirty. We need to follow the example of Jeremiah. Secondly, like Jeremiah, people in the pit are very often misunderstood for what they're doing. Jeremiah was branded a traitor. He's advocating submission to Babylon. You see, he had a message that the people didn't want to hear, and his own people threw him under the bus, as we would say, actually into a muddy pit. But if you hear the calling to enter the pit of the messiness of ministry, get ready to be misunderstood by your own people. People will question your motives and your integrity. You'll be accused of being prideful or insubordinate or a traitor to your own people, just like Jeremiah. What's interesting, what's highly insightful, is the fact that Jeremiah had one that came after him that was just the same way, one that was greater than he. Jesus, our Lord Himself, was willing to get into the messiness of ministry. He socialized with the sinners and the tax collectors, and He was misunderstood for doing so. And His own people, the religious leaders of Jerusalem, accused Him of being a glutton and a drunkard for doing that. Matthew 11:19. So you see, like Jeremiah, and certainly like Jesus, people that are down in the pits of ministry will be misunderstood and maligned also. because too often neat and tidy is what is celebrated. The comfort of the palace is what is welcomed and cheered among us. But when the ministers of mess come, we like to call them names. It's a tragic irony that God sends ministers of mess among us, just like He did Jeremiah to Israel, just like He did Jesus to Jerusalem. Even today, God sends the ministers of mess among us to help us, and we stone them for the work they're doing. This is enough to bring God to tears, as it did Jesus. Don't you remember in Luke 13, He stands over Jerusalem and He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who would kill the prophets and stone those that are sent to you, how often I long to gather your children together like a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not." You see, the mud of the pit means that we must not be afraid to get dirty. And you can just know if you're a person of the pit, like Jeremiah, called to the messiness of ministry, you're going to be misunderstood. It's just part of the job description. Thirdly, God's messengers often get discouraged and lonely and even depressed. You certainly see that with Jeremiah. I mean, imagine, you've been called by God. You've heard the voice of God. You have absolute certainty that what you are doing is the heart of God and His will. But then imagine how disheartening it would be for God's own people to have their eyes blinded to that truth. Because of that, people like Jeremiah in the messiness of ministry find that even though they're doing God's will, it is a lonely place. They're sinking down in the mud. Jeremiah felt great distress. Chapter 15 tells us, verses 10 through 21. He even in chapter 20, verse 14, pronounces a curse on the day he was born, much like Job did in the book of Job. Why was I even born if this is the reception that I'm going to get? You see, when those that get down in the trenches of real life ministry challenge the status quo, challenge the comfortable, their own people will often throw them down in the pit like they did Jeremiah. And although God had sent Jeremiah to Judah, his own people branded him as a troublemaker. Such is the burden. And when we really understand it, the marvelous honor of being a preacher, a prophet, a minister, a missionary, a Christian in the mess of life. Like Jeremiah, such a condition is a lonely place that's often filled with despair and depression, and it is easy to give up. And that's why God's people need to encourage those that are in the pit of the ministry of mess. Jeremiah's own people cried out for him to stop rocking the boat. Just go ahead and go along to get along and stop pushing so hard. But ministers of mess and prophets of God can't. Because you see, the prophets of God and the ministers of mess have a keen awareness of what is at stake and how the time is short. And so pushing against the opposition of his own people, listen to the words of Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 20 and verse 9. "But if I say, I'll never mention the Lord or speak in His name, His word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones, and I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it." Jeremiah says, "I tried to keep quiet about it, but the calling was so strong. What was at stake was so important that I could not contain it. I couldn't keep it back." This is the burden and the privilege and the honor of being a minister down in the pit. In the fourth place, And I think this is a little more encouraging. When you're in the mud of the pit and the messiness of people's lives, and you've been called for that, you must understand that God's view of success is radically different than our views of success. We tend to view successful work in God's kingdom in terms of achieving goals, great accomplishments, lots of amens and baptisms, revivals and church growth records. Well, if you use those standards, Jeremiah was the most miserable failure in human history. He spoke to Judah, the people of Judah, for 40 years, and not a single person listened. He was thrown in prison and then thrown down into the pit. He was rejected by his neighbors, rejected by his family, rejected by his friends, his audience, and the leadership of his nation. He stood alone announcing God's message. And the reason he did is because he could see out there on the horizon the dawning of a new day. Jeremiah is the prophet who speaks of how in the latter days God would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And God would be their God, and they will be his people. I think it is that glimmer of hope of what lay on the horizon, what is out in front, what God would break through and do, it was that clear vision that allowed Jeremiah to push through the mud of the pit. And what I think that shows us is that God's view of success is often radically different than our views of success. Jeremiah was faithful to God's call. He endured even through the difficult days, and he pushed aside the tide of popular opinion and was a man full of faith and courage and conviction of the message of God. Some of us, dare I say all Christians, in whatever station or place in life to which you have been called, God has called you there for a purpose. I know that. In Acts chapter 17, in that sermon on Mars Hill, Paul talks about how that God has appointed all of us to live in the places where we live for a specific reason. God has you in the place that you're in, whether it's in the palace or it's down in the pit, whether it's in the days of victory or the days of defeat, wherever you are being called by God to be a minister of the mess, wherever that mess is found, to show people the hope of a brighter day. It's not always easy to be a minister in the mess. But we must remember that God blesses those that are down in the pit of real life ministry. You will be the constant target of attacks and accusation. But God is calling you, He is calling me to agitate the apathetic, to stir the still waters, to keep convicting the comfortable, to disturb the contented, to rouse the sleepers, to wake the sleeping dragons, to slay the sacred cows, to put lights on the candlesticks, to speak life into a valley of dry bones, and to charge headlong with stones in hand by the power of God and slay the giants. This is what we are called to. And we have the power of God and His purpose behind us. So even if you find yourself down in the pit, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus says, believe also in me. Because Jesus was down in the pit too. And it looked as if His ministry was all for naught. Certainly His disciples on Saturday thought that it had all been in vain. that all the miracles, all the ministry, all the helpings and administrations had been for nothing. As Jesus is down in the pit, the darkest and deepest pit of all, it seems as if Jesus is sinking down, submerged in the mud of the pit of death. But bursting forth in glorious day, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, Jesus shows that He is the victory. And the battle is won. So don't be discouraged when you find yourself as a person of the pit, down in the messiness of the ministry of people's lives, even having being misunderstood, even by your fellow believers. Don't be discouraged, because when you have the heart of God and His purposes, the victory is already won. Tonight, let me ask you, have you felt yourself down in the pit? If there's some way that we can encourage you or be helpful to your spirit and minister to you, the church is supposed to be, and we should be, all about acknowledging openly that we're all just a big mess. We've got no right to throw mud because we're all standing in it. But Jesus has a beautiful way of cleaning all of that up. And so we must not remember from where we come. From dirt we came, and to dirt we shall return. But you know what? The Spirit is from the Lord. And His Spirit stands ready to be of aid to you tonight. If you're in need, if we can be of encouragement to you, we are the people of the pit. So if you need some help, we're here for you. If you're ready to commit your life to Christ, we'd like to talk with you about your obedience to the gospel. If we can help you in any way, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.